This episode is sponsored by Cryptid Crate. Go to CryptidCrate.com and use the promo code SECRETPOD, and you can save 20% on your first order. CryptidCrate.com.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
Toby, and alongside me are my co-hosts.
Rudy. Bitches got you first.
We don't even care.
Good job.
Introduce yourselves, ladies.
Kristen.
Addison.
Just because they're grumpy today.
We're not grumpy.
Whoa.
Ooh, geez.
I mean, maybe because someone called all women, you know, F3s, but yeah.
No, just one. Just
F3
one.
F3 tornadoes.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's
Rudy
F3.
Has developed a rating system for women's moods. And
no, not moods. Just the level of crazy you're willing to do
crazy,
with.
Oh, crazy, crazy.
Yeah. So we're
how
all
does that compare with, like, what is, like, the hurricane scale?
I don't know what the hurricane scale is.
He's going off the tornado
scale. I'm going off the tornado scale.
But so I decided.
Dude, if you're dealing with hurricanes, more power to you.
Hurricane
I'm not dealing
Rudy.
With that level of crazy.
That's what we deal with.
Well, so
hurricane Rudy.
I texted Kristen the other day, and I was like,
I'm at a F5 right now.
Well, no, I mean...
I'm only an F2 right now.
I was like, for being an F3, I was like, I sure attract some serious, like, hurricane, like, 5.
Yeah,
dudes.
I'm not saying it's just strictly for women. It applies to everyone across the board.
Like, I was like...
The fajita scale.
Well,
so.
I decided that this one...
Fajita?
This one particular...
Fajita scale, yes.
This one particular guy was, like, a Category 5 hurricane. Crazy.
I have a feeling most people today... especially millennials, are a base F3 to F4.
It's a 1 to 5 is what the hurricanes are.
Us older folks...
Yeah, he was definitely
categories.
Five.
They're categories.
Us older folks act like an F1, but secretly we're more like an F5. So,
just
know.
A little wiser in your days. So
yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like,
we can control
I'm an F5 inside.
Well,
I'm about to fuck this bitch up, but I'm going to act like an F1.
Today we're actually going to be talking about a controlled...
Sorry.
A controlled F5.
This is one of the.
This may be a controlled hurricane, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can
Cat
5.
This is
Cat 5.
Yeah.
You're always in the eye of the storm if you're looking at this guy.
Oh, man.
That's slightly terrifying.
It is. His name is. Do you want to say his last name for me, Kristen?
Yeah.
So you don't butcher
What's
it.
His name?
Richard Kuklinski.
Kuklinski.
No!
A.K.A. the Iceman.
I've been saying
Kuklinski.
It. One, I probably couldn't say
or
it right
Kuklinski,
anyway.
Or Kuklinski, if you want to say it.
But two, I've been messing with Chris in the last couple of days of just saying it
Kuklinski.
Wrong. Butchering it completely wrong on purpose.
Kiblinski.
Yeah.
Kiblowski.
Just to tick her off, and she's like, no, that's not it.
Michael
now
Zalski.
Can't say
no, because
right,
I'm trying to make it stick, so... shout out to the Best Darn Diddly podcast because Richie has no clue until he probably listens to it because he doesn't even listen to our episodes. So I can go ahead and throw this out there. We play games online. Uh-huh. So every time he does something horrible, I'm like, all right, Kuklinski. Because his name is Richie. And that's what they call this guy, the Iceman,
right.
Richie Kuklinski.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, look at him acting like Richie Kuklinski. And he hasn't caught it yet. So I'm waiting for him to be like, who the fuck is Kuklinski?
He'll look it up one of these days and be like, that bitch.
He probably already has.
I'm trying to make it stick. So that's why I need it to be right.
There we go. Be sure to message him on Twitter. Call him Richard.
Richard Kuklinski.
Find some horrible clips of his exploits and post it to him.
So before we get started, I kind of wanted to because you might be wondering, like, how bad is this guy? He was popular enough that... one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin, actually developed his character from this guy. So I got a clip.
I love clips.
Ooh.
I'm wearing the shirt, so it don't
so
matter.
So pretty much,
Kuklinski
is he's a closet homicidal.
No, we'll get to it.
Well, no, I'm saying he is. Like, looking at him, you wouldn't think he would kill a person. Because
he hid it from his family very well, but
right,
we'll get into
yeah.
all that in a minute.
Yeah.
I feel like most serial killers, though, are, like, they do hide it rather well. Otherwise, they wouldn't be serial killers.
Some of them like to go full F5.
Well, hear Stone Cold talk about.
How did the name Stone Cold come about?
Well, the name Stone Cold happened back in the day. I was wrestling as Steve Austin. And then one of the guys that I was traveling with gave me the name Stunning Steve Austin.
Stunning Steve?
Yeah.
You were a great-looking guy, right?
Back then. Yeah. When I had long hair, didn't have the goatee, I was a pretty good-looking cat. So anyway, I lose the job. I get fired. It's time to come up with a new identity. You know, and when I went to, that's when Vince McMahon from WWF back in the day gave me a call. And I was going to go in. And they wanted to bring me in as the ringmaster. So I went in as the ringmaster. But I knew going in, that was just a foot in the door, that the ringmaster didn't have staying power, didn't have legs. You were never going to see that as a marquee name on anything.
Correct.
Hard to merchandise the ringmaster. So, you know, I watched a special on a serial killer, Richard Kuklinski. I came up with the concept of just a cold-blooded, ruthless heel, you know, because he was known as the Iceman. I pitched the office all these ideas, and they came back with names like Fang McFrost, Otto von Ruthless, and Ice Dagger, temperature-based names.
I like that.
But anyway, I was very frustrated.
So anyways, Stone Cold Steve Austin, he's Stone Cold because of the Iceman.
Because of the Iceman, right.
And he developed his psychology from Richard's. If you see this man, if you, I highly recommend that you go watch the documentaries. In fact, a bunch of our clips that we're going to be playing today are from two different HBO documentaries. Mm-hmm. It's The Iceman Confesses, Secrets of a Mafia Hitman, and The Iceman and the Psychiatrist.
And I want to say the HBO one was actually originally a three-parter. Because it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, they're pretty long.
Yeah.
But he developed all the psychology from just the stares. Like, he just looks at you, but he's calm. Like we were saying a minute ago, like a freaking F5. Like,
right.
He's the eye of the storm.
It's the calm before the storm. Yeah. Right.
So,
that puts a whole new perspective on things.
Well, I'm going to let Richard kind of tell us a little.
You're going to let him introduce himself?
Yeah, this is the first introduction you're going to get of Richard, okay?
Hmm.
I was the person who was able to hurt somebody at any given time with no remorse. And who could do it over and over again without it bothering them.
Did you think of yourself as an assassin?
Assassin? Sounds so exotic. I was just a murderer.
So
he's not on the scale. I'm sorry, he's like,
He's beyond anything we can comprehend.
He blew that scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let me add, in this documentary, I've cut his talking a lot closer together because he is very articulate.
Mm-hmm.
He pauses. You can tell he really thinks out what he's going to say.
Right.
There's only one instance where he cuts loose and doesn't do that, and he makes a really bad joke, and he tries to cover it up real quick, but we'll get to that clip in a little while.
Right.
He showed his true self for a minute.
Yeah, he showed that. Because he does seem like a very intelligent man. Like
he is a very intelligent man for sure.
He just seems very precise in everything he says. Everything's very well calculated out.
Oh yeah.
So where's he from?
Jersey, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, upstate New York, Jersey kind of area.
Yeah.
I could tell he had some kind of accent, so I just wasn't.
Yeah, sure. He's definitely got that deep like mafioso type New York accent.
So
which adds to the creepy factor.
Yeah, yeah. It
threw me. I was like, whoa, wait.
Yeah.
And I'll go ahead and jump to this, but you got to remember this man is over 6 foot tall, over 300 pounds, just a big giant of a man with this voice, just how, like I said, articulate. Like, that's the only word I can think of to describe him. He's a scary motherfucker.
Like,
right.
You're shaking in your boots, about to piss your pants when you see him.
Yeah. Here's another clip.
If I understand you correctly, you're positive you killed more than 50 people. And
definitely.
You think you probably killed more than 100 people.
Definitely.
You're sure of that one?
Definitely.
But not sure it's more than 200?
I wouldn't say definitely to that.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
I would say less than 200 people.
Well, you tell me.
It's not less than 200 people.
You killed more than 200 people.
Sure. Yep.
Sure.
I killed basically more 100 people when I was a young man, before I even knew anybody. Too much.
One part of my life, I killed people for nothing. Just for somebody to look at me wrong, I would kill them. Stab them, shoot them.
Yeah.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
He even goes in, he tells stories about when he had road rage incidences where he'd pull people over and beat them to death. Mm-hmm. Just because they cut him off in traffic.
So he's that guy driving down the highway that pulls out the sawed-off shotgun and is like, bang! Yep.
He would have been, yeah.
No good remorse Lord. Either.
Bitch, you didn't use a blinker?
I don't know if you'll cover it later, but his induction into...
He looked at me the wrong way?
Into the mafia as an assassin was... he just killed a random guy on the street walking his dog.
The fuck?
Yeah. They were just like, see that guy over there? Kill him.
Poor pup.
Here's another.
The puppy got away. It was the guy that didn't.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the pup lost his owner.
Here's another clip.
Do you know what an adrenaline rush feels like?
Oh, yeah.
What will give you one?
Sex. It's the only one. I don't really get anything from hitting anybody, hurting anybody, shooting anybody. It does nothing for me. The only thing that gives me pleasure is sex.
Well, that's a different kind of pleasure than what an adrenaline rush
is. Pleasure, I guess.
Yeah.
If I were to beat somebody up, it would do nothing for me. If I knocked them down and stepped over them, that's why, you see, it doesn't bother me. I don't care to hurt anybody. It does nothing for me. Killing someone else.
So, yeah, I mean, he's cold. He's cold, and he just doesn't have any remorse for any of this. He was just ruthless.
To him, killing was no different than us grocery shopping.
Taking out the trash.
Yeah, taking out the trash.
That's basically right. What it was. He was taking out the trash.
Taking out the trash. But not everyone was trash, though.
Yeah, right. But we'll get to that, because even I think everyone ended up being trash.
To him, well, not even really. He didn't really care. If they crossed him or pissed him off, then yeah, they were done.
Well, here we go. I got another clip for you.
Yes.
You tended to shoot people up close and personal.
Definitely. I wanted to tell them just before they left. I wanted to say goodbye.
Did you like to look them in the eye?
I wanted them looking straight at me. This was a long way away. The distance we are now. We were close.
What did you want them to think as they died?
Just see my pretty face. I take it to them. But the last thing they ever saw was me. And if they carry that glimpse to eternity, infinity, or whatever it is, they're going to be thinking of me all that time. I'd be looking in their eyes. I would see the blankness come over it. I'd watch them die. I just didn't shoot them and walk away. I saw the surprise, the shock, the blank. Psst, they're gone. And all I saw was my reflection. But that's it.
Did you have a favorite place you'd like to shoot?
A favorite? Well, most of the time, if you're up close, you shoot him under the chin. You would shoot him. Shot a guy one time in his Adam's apple. See how long it would take him to die.
How long did it take?
A few minutes. He drowned, actually. He didn't.
Drowned in his blood?
Mm-hmm. I was with somebody else. We had a $50 bet. I lost.
You thought he'd go faster, huh?
Yes.
Betting over killing people. Just to see. Just curious on what would happen.
How long it would take them to die.
Yep. So, let's take a step back before we get too wild into the killings and stuff. Let's talk about him as a child.
Oh, God.
So, Richard was born April 11th, 1935 in Jersey City, mm-hmm. New Jersey. His parents were Irish and Polish immigrants named Anna McNally and Stanley. His father worked at a railroad company of some sort and was a violent alcoholic who beat him and his siblings. Anna was no better. She also beat the kids, believing that the children should be raised in a strict household. Some of the stories are pretty wild about the beatings.
Yeah.
So I've got a clip.
Ooh.
A lot of clips.
What's the worst beating you ever took from your old man?
I don't think there's much difference in any of them. They were all pretty bad. He left his mark on me, pretty much.
And he did most of that before you were, what, 11?
Yes. I was young.
And was that worse when he was drinking?
We But Stanley, it didn't really matter what he was drinking or he wasn't drinking. He was a nasty son of a bitch, and he always will be till the day he died. And even when he died, he was a nasty son of a gun.
Did you go to his funeral?
No, I didn't.
Was there one?
Yes. I didn't like him in life. Why would I want to go see him in death? I was glad he was dead.
How about your mom? How was she?
Over the years, I got to dislike my mother a great deal. But now that I have more time to think about it, she was just a victim of her own life.
As a kid, how did you see her?
Hateful. Disliked her a great deal. She didn't believe in sparing her rod either. I mean, she used to hit me with a broomstick if I did something wrong.
Where would she hit you?
Wherever it hit.
So didn't have a very good childhood.
No.
Very violent childhood, you could say.
Good God.
And on top of that, he was bullied.
Yeah.
Because of his Polish-Irish descent.
Right, and we'll get to that in just a second.
Okay.
Did you know that Stanley, Richard's father, ended up beating his brother, his older brother, I guess his name's Florin?
Okay.
And he beat him to death, and that's when he ended up abandoning the family and leaving them behind.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I hated my father. If I could have, I probably would have killed him. Probably would have felt good about it, too. My father would beat me just if I looked at him. He gave me this impersonal feeling I have to when people die in front of me. Especially loudmouth people. Loudmouth people remind me of my father. Once a loudmouth person starts with me, I love it. That's the only excuse I need.
Anyone that reminded him of his father.
I'd forgotten about that, where he was like people who...
With loud mouths?
Just obnoxiously loud mouths. He was like, oh, that's it, right there. And so it didn't matter who they were either.
No, I mean, like, his parents clearly fucked him up.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Yeah, just how he was raised, his environment.
Especially his dad. His dad did a number on him psychologically, for sure.
So, like you were saying, Richard had bullies. They'd bully him real bad. So, before he ends up taking his anger out on the bullies, he started with animals. Small animals, cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's usually how it starts.
Yeah, this one's pretty twisted.
Oh, God.
How were you with animals at that age?
Deadly.
Cats, dogs?
Cats, dogs. I used to tie two cats' tails together. I drove over a clothesline and watched them rip each other apart.
How long does it take?
Not long.
Did they both die?
I don't know. I never stood around to see the final thing. I would say eventually they both died because they were both pretty well tore up.
Gotta be noisy.
It was quite noisy.
What else would you do with cats?
Well, we had the incinerator in the projects there. So I threw a cat in the incinerator. Then I threw a book of matches in there. And through the door, I watched the fire get bigger and bigger, and this cat was running around, trying to get away. Eventually, the fire got too big for him, and he didn't run anymore.
You only did one cat?
No. That was a pastime.
Did they all behave the same way?
Mostly. One almost got out the door. He almost jumped back up, came out the door, I threw him in. Because that's where I was looking, and he almost came back out.
How about dogs?
I've kicked them off the roof, tied them to the back of a bus. Then they'd just be dragged once they got tired. Never saw the end of those things, so just did it.
Do you remember any feelings associated with it?
I don't think so. I got maybe a little excitement. Most of the time, though, after that, I felt disgust that I did it. Because I didn't really do anything that took any kind of a challenge. I just did it on some kind of helpless nothing. They couldn't stand up to me anyway.
And you'd be alone when you did this?
Yes.
Did you say you were bored?
Mm-hmm.
just out of boredom. You know, I know a lot of people can like the true crime stuff, and they don't mind it when people are talking about, you know, eating bodies and, you know, some of the crazy stuff we've talked about in the past. But once you start talking about this part of it, it's really dark, and just hearing him talk about it, like, it's no thing.
Right.
He didn't just kill. He tortured.
Yeah.
Those poor little animals.
If this doesn't paint a picture of how this man is, like,
oh, he's textbook nuts, man, for sure.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. He may be just, you know, common sense nuts too. Like, he has textbook, but I mean, like, he is like he's thinking this shit out for sure.
Well, not only that, but
I mean, that's mentally like, what are you
throwing the matches in with?
Yeah, in the inferno that's already been able to start. Like, I mean, you like, wanted a high fire.
Yeah, he it's like whatever he can do to make it the most brutal, like, drawn out, terrible fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, oh god, and I thought there was like a glimmer of hope, and he was like, mostly I felt disgust. No. I was wrong.
Well, and it wasn't even disgust of what he did. It was disgust of, it was just too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was like,
he was disgusted was with no himself effort. That he was going
it
that
It wasn't a
low.
Challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what even? Like,
oh, it gets worse.
I do.
So in 1948, when Richard was 13, he finally got his revenge on the bully named Charlie Lane. He beat him to death, then cut off his fingers with a hatchet, then pulled his teeth out with pliers so the body wouldn't be able to be identified. He also went to the rest of the bullies and beat them almost to death with an iron rod.
How much would somebody have to humiliate you before you'd become obsessed with killing them?
It would be the degree he humiliated me. If it were not much, and it would be the time. It would be how my attitude was. If I was jumpy or edgy, it wouldn't take much. If I was passive, then he might get away with it. But no one really knew. I took a guy down one time, just following him around. He was with a few people. Now, as they went to the bar, this person decided he couldn't wait to get inside to urinate. He never did. Everybody else went in. He stayed outside to urinate. He urinated. He went comfortably anyway. He had an empty bladder. But I actually strangled him.
From behind, I assume.
Definitely. I actually did it in a way that's maybe this is original. And maybe not, I don't know. But I put the rope around his neck, twisted it, and threw him over my shoulder. And held him there. So actually, I was the tree hanging him.
Yeah.
And he eventually just stopped kicking.
So yeah, so I always think of when I the couple times I've listened to that clip, I always think of like a John Wick type of move.
Yeah,
like he hangs him and kind of hangs him up on his back and like pulls him down.
A lot of ideas that you see in Hollywood are, I think, inspired from this guy.
I wouldn't.
Clearly,
doubt
there
it.
Are plenty.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like, holy shit!
Because he's got stories.
Yeah,
after story.
He's got. Yeah, he's got a bunch of stories.
And he at this point, he's not afraid to
talk about them. He was in prison when all this was.
I gathered.
So
hey,
he's just like, whatever.
Even during his trial, to avoid a trial, he's sitting there in the courthouse or in the courtroom, and he's going, oh, yeah, this guy and this guy. I killed this guy. Double tap him in the head. You can find him here. This guy, I strangled him. You can find him here.
Yeah, he was pretty hardcore.
He was not afraid to go to jail. He was not afraid to do anything.
So he ended up dropping out of school in eighth grade. He kept killing in the west side of New York, sometimes dumping bodies in the Hudson River, or he would just leave them where he killed them. Police believe that this was just bums killing each other in most of the cases.
Oh, okay.
Or bums attacking people.
Right, right.
So he... Okay. Me and Rudy were talking about this off microphone. He was married with two boys, okay? But we could not find anything that said who his first wife was.
Right. Nor could we find the boys.
Right. So take this for the grain of salt that it might be from the different websites and documentaries we watched.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't find exactly where the two boys, the other wife, but in one of my bits of research, mm-hmm. he was married. He had two kids.
Right.
When he met Barbara, which will end up being his future wife.
See, and in the research I found, nothing was ever indicated that he was married before Barbara.
Right. He was working at some kind of loading dock,
mm-hmm.
and I guess she was a secretary to whatever company they were loading, and
yeah,
that's how they...
Yeah, he was doing the physical labor. She was an office worker.
Right. And she was 18 and fresh out of high school.
Uh-huh.
And, the company was called Swiftline.
Okay.
So he asked her on a date, and she agreed, and they went on a double date, and she says that he was the perfect gentleman. We went to the movies, and then we went for pizza, and he got up and played Save the Last Dance for me on the jukebox. The next morning, he turned up at her house with flowers and a gift, and she agreed to a second date, and that was the end, she says. So, a year or so went by, and Barbara became distant with her family, so they convinced her to try to break it off with Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up holding a sharp knife to her back and basically said, if you leave, I'm going to kill you and your entire family.
Which is why I find it hard to believe that he was married and then divorced previously.
Right.
I don't think he would have done that. He wouldn't have let that go.
No.
Right. So the next day after all this happened, he came back and with flowers and tried to apologize. He had a teddy bear. All the goods to try to...
smooth things over.
Yeah. He also told her that he wanted to get married to her. And he threatened her because he... He threatened her because he loved her so much that it made him crazy.
Hmm.
Aww.
I'm sure.
So they ended up getting married and having their first daughter named Merrick.
He'd fit right in with today as far as how relationships work.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
You make me crazy, baby. Let's get married or else I'll kill you.
So Richard tried
to
get...
we do it.
So Richard was trying to get legitimate work at a film lab.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then he started pirating Disney films to sell his bootlegs. Well, then it got worse and he started bootlegging pornos.
Because...
that's more of his alley.
Because he found out that some of the guys that were working there... were bootlegging the porn, and they were making bukus of money doing
right.
it. And he wanted in.
Yeah, and then he started turning into more crime. Apparently he started to hijack trucks and just other crimes for extra money.
Uh-huh.
The couple ended up having another daughter and a son. And for some reason, Barbara never questioned where the money came from or what exactly he did for a living. Like, they never had the conversation of, like, oh, how was your day today? You know, I guess.
Yeah, you don't in that kind of a relationship.
No.
That's not a everyday conversation.
I never questioned him. And you just knew, don't do it. Don't ask. If he got up at 2 o'clock in the morning or during dinner and put on his shoes and walked out the door, you said, bye. You didn't say, where are you going or why are you going? And it was just understood that that's the way it was.
I was the happiest when I was with Barbara. Never involved in anything I ever did. Never told her anything I did. If I did, I probably would have shocked the pants off her. She knew I had a violent temper, and I did have a violent temper. But I don't think she thought I would go as far as I did go.
Which I think even talking about her, I think he had his violent moments, but I think he was, for the most part, a gentleman to her.
It seems
because
like
said,
he loved her.
Shock the pants off. Like
it was one of those situations where if he had a bad day at work, he'd come home and punch her in the face. And I actually think he tells that story.
Yeah.
At one point. And, you know, his nose is broken. She's bleeding all over the place.
She broke her nose 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Black eyes. I mean, mm-hmm. But he supposedly never touched the kids. Now, there's a story that I did see.
Mm-hmm.
Something about one of the daughters saying mm-hmm. that he actually threatened them before, but I didn't write any of that down because I only saw it in one source. And
right.
I don't know.
For the most part, between him and his wife talking about everything, he apparently worshipped the ground they walked on.
Right,
the
yeah.
kids.
No, he loved his family.
Right.
He was... oddly enough, a family man.
He loved his wife, but he, at the same time, would beat the shit out of her if he was
crazy.
Yeah, right. If he was having a bad day, so.
Well, like, that's because I didn't really research him, but, like, in past experiences with, like, other situations like this, like, and, I mean, not serial killers, but, like, abusive people, like, if they were abused as children, they usually never hit their kids. They'll hit their spouses or whatever, but they never touch the kids. For it, like, it triggers something.
Right.
And I don't, it's the damnedest thing. I don't know. But.
And that's kind of hit or miss because sometimes the parents don't want to treat their kids that way. So, yeah, they don't hit their kids. But at the same time, that's how they were raised and that's how they know how to raise kids.
Right.
So it's a 50-50. It's a crapshoot at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're going to get the parent who doesn't want to treat their kids like they were treated.
Right.
Or they do.
Right. Mm-hmm. So later on, we're probably skipping around because really this is all pretty hard to put in a real particular order.
Right.
But Richard ended up becoming a hitman for the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
His first test, like you were talking about earlier, came from Roy DeMeo. And here is that clip.
I love clips.
Said, well, I would expect you to, if you came with me, I'd expect you to, if I told you to whack somebody, you'd whack them without any question. So I said, well, I could probably do that. He says, you probably could do it or could you do it? Do you think you could do it? And I said, yeah, I think I could do it. So he told Freddie to get the car, got the car. He and I got in the back seat. Freddie was driving. We drove someplace. I don't know where it was. It was someplace in New York. And we were sitting there for a while. We got to where we were going. We were sitting there for a while, and a man came in the distance. He was walking his dog, it looked like. So he said, all right, take this guy down. I said, which guy are we talking about here? So he says, the man walking the dog. So I got out of the car and I started walking towards the man. The man was walking his dog just like a regular guy. As he passed me, I turned around and shot him. Freddie and Roy pulled up in the car, I got in the car, and we drove away. And that is how I got involved with Roy, with doing things like that.
So, this is how he became a hitman for the, I think it's Genovese crime family. He was involved with a couple of crime families, uh-huh. And I probably can't say their last names.
Please
so,
try.
No, that's it. So, like I said earlier, he was over 6 foot tall. He was 6 foot five, and he weighed almost 300 pounds, and his weapons that he mostly chose were guns, ice picks, cyanide, and he even used a crossbow one time.
Crossbow was, I just popped a guy in the forehead with it. Actually, it was just seeing if it would work.
What was he doing at the time?
Looking at me.
Well, was he sitting down, or were you standing over him? Or?
No, he actually bent down to look in the car window like I was asking him directions. I didn't know the man.
Was this a contract murder, or was it something out of anger, or was it a personal thing?
Neither.
What was it?
I just wanted to see if this thing would work.
You mean you're experimenting on somebody?
Right.
Did it work?
Sure did. Went halfway into his head.
Just to test it out. He's very curious with death. He's very curious about, like, I wonder how long this will take to do this. Like,
yeah.
He's very oddly curious, like a child about it.
And if he wanted to test something, he'd test it. It didn't matter on who.
Clearly.
So,
you know,
he's not the only one. Like, we know his parents were fucked up.
Uh-huh.
He's fucked up. His brother, Joseph, was in prison for raping a girl, then throwing her and her dog off of a building.
Yeah.
I think it was like a 13 or 14 year old girl. I don't remember, but.
But they were in the same prison together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they never.
You want to talk about your brother? Or?
What do you want to talk about? There's nothing to talk about.
Because we never brought up your brother in the first show.
Well, you want to talk about him? We'll talk about him. He's been here for 25, 7 years, something like that. He's been here a long time. 25 years, I think. Don't hold me to that exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty close.
And he's here for murder?
Yes.
What happened? How old was he when...
He was a young man. He was in his 20s, I believe.
And what went wrong in his case? Do you think he still was a product also of, you know, what you went through?
We come from the same father.
Do you see him, Richard?
I pass him.
What do you say? Just hello and keep on walking?
How you doing, Joe? How you? Take care.
That's it?
I told you I have dual short stories. That's being over-friendly with my brother.
Does he try to talk to you?
He says less to me, as a matter of fact. Sometimes he doesn't even answer me, I don't think. Thinking about it.
That's too bad.
Depends how you look at it.
I mean, honestly, what are they going to talk about? Hey, right. Did you see that cloud today? I mean, they were locked up.
Well, yeah. I mean, but they were locked up from each other for a while. Like, I mean, he, you know, like,
I think he
had
was in there
family
for like
and everything
12
while
years.
He was in there.
Yeah, I think he was locked up for like 12 years before Richard actually made it there.
Right.
But you know, that's gotta be freaking weird.
Not to them.
No, like, no. To them, they're just like, that's what it is.
They don't feel it, but yeah, normal people, it would be weird, but...
Right. Let's get on to one of his associates.
Which associate?
We got the associate...
Okay, Godfather.
Yeah.
You come to disturb me during my daughter's wedding.
Yeah. That's all Zootopia.
Just get to the point.
So his associate, so, Robert,
like, that's the
Robert
same
Prong.
Lady that saved me from the
Robert
donut
Prong.
Today.
I think that's how you say his last name. Prong, whatever.
Okay.
Not.
Okay.
Mr. Softy.
Oh, Softy, yes.
This was a hitman.
Uh-huh.
Here, let's hear about Mr. Softy.
He taught me a lot, basically.
Really, I like it.
But he was extremely crazy. But... He would read all kinds of books on destruction and all kinds of ways to destroy somebody. He used to go around this Mr. Softy truck. That's how he used to spot people and get the outlay of the land, you know, where they were and easy ways. And sometimes he'd do it right from the truck.
And he sold ice cream?
Yes, he did. Sold Mr. Softy. He had one of those Mr. Softy right. trucks. Did and you ever see them? That's what he sold.
And he sold ice cream to the little kids in the neighborhood?
Yes, he did. And that's what he did. He sold. He'd go into these neighborhoods and sell ice cream to the kids. And
I hope he's dead.
Maybe kill one of their fathers.
He might sell ice cream and then kill their fathers.
He died.
Okay, he did die because I was saying.
Yeah,
he just,
no, he
I mean,
died.
He died in 2000. He died in 2006 in prison at 71.
Well,
I think,
no. That, like you're that. Talking about Richard.
Yeah, Richard.
Okay.
Did, yeah.
The Mr. Softy, which there's a movie which I'll talk about at the end more, called Iceman.
Mm-hmm.
In that movie, he's called like Mr. Freezy or something like that, or
okay.
Freezy or something. I don't remember. So if you watch that
Mr.
movie,
Freeze.
That's it's the same guy.
You know, I was thinking about that. They probably couldn't get the rights to do the
oh,
Mr.
Yeah,
Softy thing, so they had to call it something different.
Right.
So I was like, why would they do that? And I was like, oh yeah, they probably didn't get the rights to. And I'm sure the Softy company doesn't want.
Yeah,
their,
they don't want to be associated with.
Not them. Anymore, you know.
So some believe this is where Richard learned the technique of like freezing people,
mm-hmm.
and got the name Iceman.
Right.
Because what he would do is he'd kill someone and then throw them in a freezer and then drop them off somewhere a couple of days later, so they couldn't tell when or how exactly they were killed, and like the medical examiners would find icicles inside the bodies.
The one body that got him discovered. Was in his freezer for 2 years.
Wow.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
He had him frozen for 2 years.
Well, see, and...
The fuck?
Yeah.
Apparently, Mr. Softy ended up getting shot in his Softy-mobile.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you want to call it. His ice
That's
cream truck.
Right.
But,
No, I like Softy-mobile better.
I think that they kind of hint that Richard was the one that did it.
I think Richard says he does it.
Maybe he did. Maybe that's where I'm thinking that. But
because Richard was one of these, and you find out later on, he would befriend people, use them, and whenever he was done with them,
he'd kill them.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break, mm-hmm. and when we come back, we'll listen to some stories.
Oh, God. Some of these are bad.
Yeah. We're going to let him tell them because I can't do him justice.
Oh,
you know?
No. You got to hear just how stone cold he is. On how he tells these stories.
Did you say Stone Cold?
Yes,
I wondered.
He had no idea I was going to do that.
All-time wrestling music.
I hate your face right now.
I fucking love it.
So
it's
now
so good.
We're going to take a break.
I'm about to Kuklinski you.
As he's catching beers from the audience.
It's my favorite.
Hell yeah. Okay, we'll be right back.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
This is about to get weird.
Join John, Brent, and Conspiracy Bot each week as they clarify conspiracies.
It's the first time euphemism's ever been used in this show, and I appreciate you calling me out on it.
Explore enigmas.
Disregard all known writing and use my method, which only works on this. You'll realize it says, drink rich chocolatey Ovaltine inside the spaceship under the Sphinx.
And probe the paranormal.
Hold on a second. I'm pointing the laser at the wall now. 71... 71.1, 71.2. Admiral Byrd is here.
All of this done with the misguided help of the one and only Conspiracy Bot.
You're all idiots.
Hysteria 51 is a hilarious expedition into the eccentric.
Stop on my joke.
I will when
you.
They're good.
Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher. Remember, the truth is out there, but you won't find it here.
Stay woke, meet sex.
Do you love comic books and consider yourself a diehard fan? Then you need to listen to Parlapod. We have news, reviews, and interviews with your favorite pros, all while bringing some serious laughs. New episodes drop every Wednesday in time for New Comic Book Day. Parlapod is available on the Project Entertainment Network, all major podcast outlets, and Parlapod.com. Tune in and fuel your fandom with Parlapod.
So we are back.
Yay.
And now we're going to let's all sit Indian style on our dots and let's hear some story time. I don't know, dots in kindergarten, like on the floor. Do you ever
crisscross applesauce?
That's on
the alphabet.
Oh yeah, crisscross applesauce is the PC version of Indian style now.
Oh
sir.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't say Indian style in no. These times.
No, my kid's still Indian styles in Valley View, sir.
You're fine. Don't worry about it.
So I've got the
stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I've got Richard telling some different stories.
You should play like music in the background that's like kind of kid like. Friendly, you know.
Story time with Richard.
Story time with Richard.
When she went to the lovely Baptist daycare thing, it was crisscross applesauce.
I gotcha. So let's hear a story about Christmas Eve with Richard.
Oh Lord.
I know. Yeah, this is good.
This fella, I mean, he owed me about $1,600. So here we come, Christmas Eve. And I go there, and he says, nah, come with me, we'll go out, we'll have a good time, we'll party, we'll meet some broads with this, that, and the other thing. And I said, no, I would really like the money, I gotta buy something, and, you know, he gave me a story, a bull story. So I left there, I was a little bit upset, got on the bus, went home. I was putting the toys together for the kids. And this thing was really bugging me. It was annoying me. It was just making my whole disposition bad. Thought just occurred to me, this is bullshit. I went to the bar. They told me he just left and he was parked a couple blocks down in the parking lot. I believe the parking lot was closed, but he was parked in there. I saw his car. His car was running, but it had snow on it. So I knocked on the door and he said, hey, how are you? Glad to see you. Come on, sit down. So I go walk around the pasture side, sit down, I'm talking to him. I said, look, I really need the money. I says, you know, it's not right. You've just been playing me like a fool here. I had this pistol in my hand, and he just was annoying me to no end with his babbling. And he was just going on and on. And I fired. And I couldn't see a damn thing. Because there was snow on the windows. And when that flash went off, I just had spots before my eyes. My ears were ringing because the noise inside the car when the gun went off. Couldn't hear, couldn't see. Then I panicked. Because now I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I had caught the guy in the temple. and as he moved back, the second shot caught him in under the chin. Only about the time I could see, I reached in the man's pocket, and he had a roll of money. I took my $1,600 off him, put the rest of the money of him, that was his, in his pocket, got out of the car, and walked away. And that's when it happened one Christmas Eve in New York City.
Very sick, very twisted. Uh-huh. He, but you know what? I feel like it's one of those, he's got honor, sort of.
He's very practical.
Like, he took what was his.
Yeah, exactly. He just wanted what was his. And he
didn't have to end that way.
No.
I feel like.
But that's his justification. Like, there's something wrong with him where he's just like, motherfucker owed me money.
I took what was mine.
Yeah.
I left him his. I went on my way.
Right. Like, which he didn't. Like, I feel like other people would have taken all of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone would have. I'm sure if you're going to do that, if you're going to go through that trouble, you're probably
take all of it.
You're going to take his watch. You're going to take everything.
Yeah, you're going to justify taking all of it. But that's not how he saw it. He wanted what was his.
Right.
And that's all he took.
Which sets him apart, I feel like. Which is,
in a way,
odd. Like, right. It's, but he's just odd.
I don't know. It's hard to wrap your head around a psychotic personality like that, too, though.
Let's hear another story.
Very true.
I come out of this bar and I see him sleeping in his car. I said, I got you, little sucker. Now I got you. I'm gonna light your fire.
This guy pissed him off in the bar.
I got myself a bottle, some gasoline, and I threw it in the car with him. And he was screaming and yelling and burning, and the car burned. And I could smell him walk down the block, and I could hear him as I turned the corner. He was still yelling. This was a personal thing, yeah. See, this was a guy I disliked.
What did he do to you?
He made me mad.
Just made him mad.
Yep.
I don't remember if he ever said a name on that one, but...
He doesn't say a name, but it's just some rando that pissed him off in a bar.
Yeah. So, here's a story about one time when he went to go collect a debt.
He wanted this guy taking care of.
Talking about his boss.
But he wanted to talk to him first. So when I got to the place, I asked the man for the money. So the guy says he didn't have it and Roy would just have to wait until he got the money to pay him. And that was that. He'd have to wait. So I said to the man, I said, well, you have to then talk to him. He wants to talk to you. So I dialed the phone number, and he got on the phone, and I said, he wants to talk to you. So he was talking to him, and I guess they were acting like everything was all right, because he got off the phone, he handed me the phone back. He says, hey, I told you he'd wait. He's in the better frame of mind. Don't worry about it. He wants to talk to you now. So I picked up the phone, and he said, kill him. So I shot him. Hung up the phone and walked away.
Like it was not.
I am just a hardworking expediter of sorts. I look at myself as a person who did something that somebody wanted done, and they paid me a good price.
Yeah. He's cold.
Yeah, very matter of fact about everything.
Yeah, it's just, that's...
Yeah.
His boss, Roy, just was like, yeah, go ahead and kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them are kind of sick if you think about it. Like, this guy's like, no, it's good, it's good. And then he puts the Richard back on the phone and he's like, kill him.
Well, from what I understand, this Roy guy either owned a club or frequented a club quite a bit.
Frequented.
And it was where they did horrible, horrible things to people.
Yeah.
In this club.
So,
I can't remember the name of the club, though. It's kind of good. It's going to bug me.
Yeah. So, this is one of the more popular stories that's told about Richard.
Oh, no. I think I know which one it is, too.
I get a call that they're on their way. So, now they're coming. And it's snowing. The roads are very bad. A of snow, slipping and sliding. And I was in a van. So what I figured is, at the last moment, I had a different plan with it. At the last moment, I decided, well, I'm going to double park this thing. This will give me the edge, because this will make him have only one way to come by, and that's he has to come right by this van. And I go to the back of the van, and I go out the back door. I take the shotgun with me, of course. So I kneel down, and I look under the van, so I can see where he's approximately at. And so I watch him come up to where he's almost in the front of the van, and I stood up. And as he's going by the van, I fired. I never knew the man, you know, what he looked like or what his job was. Then I found out the next day that he was police. But had I been told to do him anyway, and I knew he was a police, I most likely would have done it anyway. I don't think I would have said no.
Does not give a fuck.
No, none.
No, clearly not.
No fucks given.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was the Gemini Lounge. Oh,
okay.
Is
okay.
The infamous club where all this shenanigans took place.
Right. Now, I've got a story. Uh-huh. I wonder if it's the same club. I'm gonna play the story. Mm-hmm. But in the movie Iceman, they play the scene out differently with cyanide and a spray bottle. Now, there might be multiple stories, but it just seemed like they may have changed the story for the movie. So this is...
I want to say it's the spray bottle. He just walked up to some random guy in the street and just sprayed it in his face.
Well, see, they may have combined two stories then, because this is... In the movie, he walks up to someone that's dancing and sprays it in their face like he sneezes. He pretends to sneeze and sprays it.
Yes.
But in this story at this nightclub... it's a little different. So here's the story.
Couldn't get to this person. He was in a disco. So I was really in a bad way because there was a time schedule involved. And I happened to be watching these people, and there was a couple of gay people dancing and whatever. And nobody was paying them no mind whatsoever. They were walking anywhere, going anywhere, because people basically don't look at gay people. But the idea came to me, try to act gay, but how in the hell am I going to get by? A 300-pound gay man, I mean, you know, that's a little bit far-fetched. So I went to the extreme of far-fetched.
Not today.
I got this loudest costume you'd ever want to see on. I mean, I went full-blown gay person. Of course, maybe the other gay people are going to be pissed off at me, but I'm not saying anything bad about them. But I got this canary yellow sweater and these bright pants, and I got these elevated shoes, which I'm tall to be good with. Now I got these thin shoes on, and I acted like a full-blown gay person. I mean, and I got on this thing, and I'm doing this like dancing bit, and I get onto this thing, and they got these lights, and I hate those lights, by the way, those strobe lights. Man, I hate those lights. They can't see good with them lights, and it messes up my eyes. So anyway, I'm trying to get close to this guy. I'm doing this crazy thing. I'm acting real swishy. I guess that's what you would call it. And I get up close to this guy, and I bump into him. But everybody's bumping into everybody. And he had a heart attack because I had hypothermia, you know. When I bumped into him, I popped him with the needle.
What was in the needle?
In his case, a heart attack.
He never does say what was in the needle.
Cyanide.
Oh, is that what it was?
Oh, straight up.
No, but he didn't say it, though.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
That way he can't be held accountable for it. He just said it was a needle.
At this point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's...
And everybody knows that if any of his victims died of a heart attack, it was cyanide.
Yeah.
So...
But yeah, I thought it's a very different at the mm-hmm. club that they are that they're at in the movie. It's not
yeah
a, it's
versus
not
a, the movie to this. In the movie, they spray him, uh-huh. and now he's saying that he injected.
Well,
him.
And that's the thing. They may have combined stories,
right.
Because they're making a film. They're not really making a
documentary
biography documentary yeah. style movie. They're just making like.
I'd love to see real life footage of him being in the club versus from the movie because.
Oh yeah,
you,
I would love
it'd
to
be
see him
amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
He's so swooshy is what he calls it.
He's so cool and calm.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't imagine seeing him like boogieing and like doing the
right.
Saturday Night Fever finger point thing. Yeah. But
he did what he needed to do to get the job done, you know.
Yeah. So another
But if you look at him versus the guy from the movie, like I mean, he would really have to go full scale to be able to like be like look different and go in front of somebody who he knew. To take him down.
Well, he never said that he necessarily knew this person. In the
well,
movie,
I'm just saying in
the
movie
the
he does know right. the person, but you
yeah,
know, like
so.
If it was to be like coincided, then
right. So I guess one of his associates, George Maliband,
mm-hmm.
He threatened Richard one time.
Yeah, not a good idea.
How'd that go for him?
George,
find
boy.
Out.
Yeah. Liked them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah, really liked them. One of the few people I ever really liked, which really struck a nerve with me. It upset me, but I was trying not to get upset with it at that time. I figured he was just nervous, maybe, and he was just spouting off, but apparently he wasn't. We got in the van, and I said, George, you're really sincere with the fact that you had hurt my family and to get back at me. And he said, that's the only way I could get you. I could get over on you or get you to do what I wanted you to do is to hurt your family. I said, but that's a stupid thing to say, George. I said, knowing how badly or how sincere I am about my family, I said, for you to say something like that, you must realize you're going to make me mad. He said, no, you won't be mad. He said, because you'd be afraid that something would happen to your family. I said, well, you're very wrong about that, George.
Big time.
I said, because I'm going to put a stop to that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put a stop to that right now. And I shot him 5 times. I could see them entering because he was right here. We're sitting in the van. I'm in the driver's seat. Georgie boy was over here in the next seat, which was, you know, just like that, and I went pop, 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 and then I went pop, pop, and I could see the material moving on his jacket. As these things, actually, they made little marks on it, on the jacket. I guess they were burn marks.
So yeah. Don't cross him. Why would you even threaten him like that?
Right.
You have to
right.
be some kind of stupid to threaten a man like that. Like,
yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they realized the sheer level of psychosis this guy was. This guy had no actual fear.
No, not
no.
at all.
No, but I mean, to even to have a glimmer of, I don't know if that's the right word, actually, like the slightest idea.
Yeah, I mean, these guys worked with him. They knew exactly what he was capable of, and mm-hmm. they knew exactly what he has
like,
done in the past.
Like, you don't
and they still he still threatened him. Like a jackass.
Like, just to know like what he's done. You don't even have to know that he's uh-huh. fucking broke the scale.
Right.
Like
the crazy scale.
Yeah. I mean, the crazy. Like he's fucking killed people. I'm not threatening mm-hmm. that bitch. No.
So I've got one more story about him and his boss, Roy DeMeo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So let's hear what happened to Roy.
I'm going to love this clip.
Do you know anything about his murder?
DeMeo?
Yeah.
He outlived his usefulness. And he was running the wrong way. Apparently, everybody thought he was going to run to the law.
What did you feel when... he was killed. How'd you feel about it?
I was all broken up over it. I got a bridge for you, too, I want to tell you.
What?
I got a bridge for you, too. I want to sell you a bridge. I wasn't broken up over... That was my attempt at levity. But I thought at the time it couldn't happen to a nicer person. So if somebody had to die that day, it was a good day for him to die.
So that's the one that he tries. He's not his cold, calculated self.
He tried to crack a joke.
He makes a joke and asks, she goes, you were really sad about it? And he goes, yeah, and I got a bridge to sell you, too. And she's like, what? He's like, I got a bridge to sell you, too. He's like, I fucked that up.
Yeah.
Like,
it was
like if you're going to cry, like, me a bridge.
Cry me a bridge.
There's a little backstory to that.
Get the fuck over it.
I don't know how much time passed between his death and this incident, but apparently this Roy guy was feeling the pressure of the cops coming down on him.
Right.
And they're all sitting around eating one day, joking around. And what's his name? Richard was laughing. And Roy pulls an Uzi on him.
Ooh, I didn't see this story.
Yeah, and he goes, something funny, you Polack. Something funny, and starts threatening, you know, Richard. He goes, well, what would you do if I wanted to kill you right now? And Richard's like, you want to do it right now? There's nothing I can do about it.
You know that in the Iceman movie, of course, like we said, they make things out of order or they combine it with other things. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of times I believe the Roy character in that did something similar. Pointed a gun at him, and he just stares at him, and he's just like, do what you gotta do.
That was the one and only time that I've heard of where he did that, and shortly after that's when Roy, you know,
died.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, how we watched the movie and everything. I wonder if they, like, go to the serial killer themselves and be like, do you think this guy's a good person to play you?
Do you think this guy's like...
Well, okay, so actually...
like, and show them, like, the auditions kind of thing.
They actually had a movie before this one came out.
Uh-huh.
This first movie, they were going to have, what's his name, Mickey Rourke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was going to play him, and that one was actually going to benefit Richard's wife. Like, she was going to get some kind of royalties from it.
Right.
And something happened, and it lost funding and fell through, and then Iceman came through the next month.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. We'll get to all that in a minute, though. But how about we take another break, and when we come back, we'll get to his arrest and him in prison, and that's
a wrap.
And that'll be a wrap.
Yep.
Do you have anything you want to say?
No. You know, not this time.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Sure.
Okay.
I thought about it.
We'll be right back.
All
right.
Stone Cold.
No.
Thought we were done.
Why? Why did you do it? You fucked up, sir. That's fucked up.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dina Marie, the host of Twisted Philly. Join me every week for some of my favorite stories from the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. We'll talk about true crime, haunted history, legends and local lore, plus some of my most favorite places to visit all around Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. You can follow me on social media, on Facebook at The Twisted Philly Podcast, and on Twitter at @Twisted_Philly. And you can find my show on all major podcast apps. Plus, if you're a Patreon supporter, you get access to exclusive content twice a month that isn't available to other listeners. Join me every week in Twisted Philly.
Hey guys, my name is Jerry, and I'm the host of Hillbilly Horror Stories.
You are not doing this without me.
Well, that just happened.
I'm his co-host and wife, Tracy.
At least for the moment, and we are the hosts of Hillbilly Horror Stories, a mostly paranormal podcast, but we also cover anything creepy or unexplained.
But mostly paranormal.
Yep, I already covered that. What makes our show different from the other shows out there is that I'm going to tell you and Tracy a story.
But I've never heard the story, so you're going to get my genuine reaction. There's probably a good chance that I'll ask the same questions that you guys are thinking at home.
It's been said that we're scary enough for the true paranormal fan out there, but also funny enough for the skeptics who just want to listen and have a good time. So hit that subscribe button anywhere you listen to podcasts and see why we have a 5-star average rating on iTunes.
Are back, and we're gonna talk about how Richard got caught.
Okay,
exciting.
It's kind of exciting, actually.
Kind of anticlimactic.
It is, but it's got a good build up, and then it just kind of fizzles out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the worst kinds.
So, I mean, if it was a movie like this, in the movie, it's kind of neat how it ends.
Right.
But in real life, it's not so. So on December 17th, 1986, Richard was arrested after investigators from the FBI and ATF stage a cyanide purchase deal. The investigators use undercover agent Dominique Palafaroni. They use his testimony to convict Richard. Mm-hmm. Dominic posed as a hitman, but he wanted to hire a hitman. I didn't understand quite, but here's a clip. Let's listen to Dominique explain.
I portrayed myself as a hitman. Told him I worked for the wise guys downtown New York, and my brother was a good fella downtown, and I went by the name of Dominic Michael Provenzano.
I have a few problems I want to dispose of. I have some rats I want to get rid of.
Yeah. Only fucking thing I don't understand. Don't you use a fucking piece of iron to get rid of these fucking people? Use this fucking cyanide?
Why be messy? You can do it nice and calm.
Yeah, so they had recordings of of him. Apparently Richard got the cyanide from Dominique for the hit.
Right.
He later went for a walk for whatever reason, and he saw a stray dog. So he's like, I guess I'm going to test this out. You know, I don't know why he got the urge to test it out. Maybe it's just his sick childhood urges coming back or what. So he gave the dog
if it was legit, maybe.
Yeah, to see how long it would take to kill. Who knows? It
right.
I don't know the dosages of cyanide, so maybe he was trying to see
and
how
in the
quick
movie,
it
was.
But wait, wasn't
a cat.
This before?
Yeah, in the was movie this, it was a cat.
Was this before or after? Like, he had started using cyanide.
This is
well
after.
After,
yeah. He'd been using cyanide
so
for a while.
So he should know how long it
so
would
here's
take.
The thing. He was using cyanide. His connection got chopped, and so he ended up buying another connection.
This guy.
Right.
Which was this guy, which was
so
not
anyways,
so good.
He gave some to this dog, and nothing happened. So instead of going for the hit, he just went home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he knew something was fishy or what, but he went home.
He's a smart man. He probably knew something was...
Right. He was later arrested at a roadblock with his wife in the car. It took 5 men to bring him to the ground and handcuff him because he's a big dude.
Yeah.
And the one detective's like, I wasn't sure if I could get these handcuffs on him.
Yeah.
He goes, I managed to get one click... And he goes, I was praying that it would hold him.
Yeah. So they ended up finding a gun in his car.
Mm-hmm.
He was charged of murdering 5 people, 6 weapon violations, attempted murder, robbery, and attempted robbery.
Where did the robbery come in?
I'm not... It may have been past charges, past stuff that happened.
Okay. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun.
No, I really don't know what all was what. In March 1988, a jury found him guilty of 5 murders and was given 2 life sentences,
mm-hmm.
and he was not eligible for parole until the age of 110. He never let anyone get away, except one man who, and I'm not sure if this is the Dominique guy that he was talking about,
uh-huh.
or if it's someone else, but here's this clip.
I love clips.
Of a guy that he did not murder.
Shocker.
Did you ever let anyone go? For whatever reason, did you ever decide to let someone go?
Yes, but then I thought better of the idea and shot him anyway.
Did you ever murder anyone you liked?
All my friends did. At one point in time, I'm sure I liked them.
But not at the moment of killing them.
I might have even liked them then. Honor among thieves? There's no such thing. You see, because I was put in prison by a man I knew 30 years, and I liked him. Big mistake. I had one friend too many. I'm now serving multi-life sentence because of my one friend. And he's the only friend I didn't kill.
See, that's why I'm under the impression that it was that Dominique guy. But I didn't think he knew him for that long.
No, he didn't know him. I don't know.
So I'm not real sure who he's talking about, and I don't think they ever really were clear on it, so...
Right.
I don't know. So, during all his killing, he did have a few rules that he followed.
Hmm.
Is there anything you wouldn't do, Richard, for a contract murder?
Yes.
What wouldn't you do?
I wouldn't kill a child. And most likely wouldn't kill a woman.
So,
he says most likely. He never says he never did.
Well, I mean, everything has a price.
Right.
I'm sure for the right price. So, in the documentary, he was asked if he would ever do this again if he were to somehow be set free.
Right.
If by some miracle, Richard, you got out of here tomorrow, let's say. But let's, for the sake of argument, what would you do? Would you go back to that life, or would you do something else?
It's past me now. I've 10 years without violence. I don't really look forward to violence anymore. I don't even think I could play the game anymore. Probably get myself shot the first time out. I wouldn't do it anyway. I'd look to retire in a nice, quiet place someplace. No banging doors, no people yelling and screaming. Somewhere, if I wanted to think, I could just sit there and think.
Say that he got caught, and maybe that's why he wanted to say he would never do it again. Who's to say that if he would have kept doing it and never got caught, that he would have ever stopped?
Right.
He wouldn't have. There's so, no way.
Yeah, I think that's the, now that I have stopped, yeah, I'm out of it and I can stop.
Or...
I still don't think that he would have. I think that he would have gotten back out there and old habits would have set in.
Right.
I think one close call would have gotten him to stop.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
There were no close calls.
Yeah, you know what? I never heard of any calls to where he almost got killed or someone got the upper hand on him.
Right.
He just always seemed to be...
Well, no, because he's fucking invincible.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, really, though.
Big, massive dude and with no fear.
He got caught on a technicality, basically.
Yeah, sort of.
He got caught because he was basically confessing to this guy, this undercover agent, because he knew that once he got what he needed from him and he did the job, he's going to go kill him.
Right, because he didn't leave witnesses behind.
Right. Right, okay, but had he not had that gun in his car or whatever when he during that roadblock, would they ever have arrested him?
Yeah, because they had the audio tapes.
They had a bunch of audio of him. He was already going to be convicted because
he
was,
basically confessed to a bunch of murders on the tapes, too.
Conspiracy to commit murder.
Right. Okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm.
In October 2005, Richard was diagnosed with Kawasaki disease, and it's some kind of the blood vessels
disease?
Get inflamed, huh?
Sorry, is Kawasaki's, never mind, go about your business, country.
Well, I'm not real sure what it is anyways, but it's something to do with the blood vessels and they get inflamed.
Yeah,
thank you for the backup, Kristen.
Medical
well,
expertise.
It's a blood
Kristen.
Disease, that's for sure.
So he specifically told doctors that if anything were to happen to him, you know, he had complications or anything, to revive him. Now, there's something really weird about his wife signing a DNR, a do not resuscitate order. And a week before the hospital, before his death, the hospital called to see if she wanted to change that. And she said no. For some reason, she had the final say, even though he was like, no, resuscitate me, please. So
was it because they were still married?
I don't know. I feel like if I'm giving you consent, that overpowers anything that Kristen would say if I was in a coma.
Right.
You know, if I'm like, hey, doc, I'm saying resuscitate me.
I'm of sound mind and body. You resuscitate me.
Yeah, so I didn't quite understand that, and that may be wrong info. We do get wrong info every now and then. Mm-hmm. So on March 5th...
Because I thought they were divorced already.
Yeah, they were. They see, I don't know.
She got brave and divorced him while he was in prison.
Right, so I don't know.
So I don't. Yeah, I'm not really
that
buying that
show
whole.
You a lot. She only divorced him while he was in prison.
Well, he couldn't get to her.
Yeah,
lymph nodes, skin, and mucous membranes inside the mouth, nose, and throat. Sorry.
Ah, there we go. Thank you, Dr. Addy.
You're welcome.
So on March 5th, 2006, he died at 70 years old and was cremated.
Right.
And that was the end of him.
Burned, just like a lot of his victims.
Man, we didn't even touch on some of the things he did.
Yeah, there's some other sick stuff.
I'm just thinking about the cats and the dude in the car.
There's
and,
one story
you know,
of he was.
I don't need to hear it.
He burnt someone in a trash can or something.
See, okay, yeah. Fire is his thing. He's also like a kryptomaniac.
That's
not the right word.
I know
it's
what that is.
Pyromaniac.
Mm-hmm. I remember. So there's a theory that he had something to do with Jimmy Hoffa's death. Hoffa is, if you don't know, famous ties to gangs and stuff, and he just went missing.
Just vanished. Nobody knows
people
what happened to him.
What baseball stadium did they believe that he was buried underneath?
Whatever the one in New York is.
Yeah, so there's rumors that he was buried underneath there.
The Yankee Stadium.
So here's a clip of...
Shame on you for not knowing that.
Who the fuck cares? It's New York. I don't care.
We
but
lost
it's
all
baseball.
Our New York listeners.
I love baseball.
So here's a clip of him talking about Jimmy Hoffa.
Okay.
Hoffa?
Yeah.
Jimmy I don't know anything about hospitals.
Oh, did you say
hospital?
Who gives
a
shit?
Oh, the scuttlebutt. Let's put it that way.
Scuttlebutt, he's in a Japanese car. Supposedly he was picked up, put in a drum, put in the trunk of a car, put in a crusher with other cars, crushed, and shipped overseas. That's what I heard. Don't know.
I think the last time I asked you that, you thought he was a Toyota.
Could be a Toyota. Some little Japanese car.
So, yeah, apparently the theory is, at one point, Richard claimed that Hoffa's body was placed in a drum, set on fire for half an hour, and then the drum was welded shut and then buried in a junkyard. So when he ended up telling, because I guess they interviewed him twice, when he first got in there and then later on, and I guess something happened that they ended up digging up the body, or digging up the barrel, and putting it in a car to be crushed with other cars.
Right.
So that's the story.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's the rumors that he quote-unquote heard.
Right. So, like we've said a couple times, there was that 2012 film called The Iceman, and it stars Michael Shannon, and it also starred Winona Ryder, Chris Evans, and David Schwimmer.
Ooh.
Friends, Ross.
Yeah.
He plays an asshole. It's really hard to not think.
Ross plays an asshole?
Where's your monkey? Where's Marcel?
Well, he kind of plays a pussified monkey.
He plays a pussified monkey?
Uh-huh.
It does in this show. They said monkey.
I said monkey. I was talking about Marcel from Ross.
Well, I was saying
Friends. Ross
wow.
from Friends.
Wow. Y'all are...
She's getting me all tongue twisted.
Y'all are some winners right there.
So anyways, do we have any thoughts about old Richard, old Dick?
I don't have any thoughts about Richard, but it did bring up something. When I first heard about this guy years ago, I watched a documentary, and it basically... It romanticized him. It made him look like he was a loving, caring husband and father.
Right.
But then he was also a hitman.
I mean, for the most part, it is like that. He just has a temper.
That's the thing is, he wasn't a loving husband, per se.
He was a loving father.
Out his wife.
Right. Now, as far as the father part, yeah. And as far as his code of not killing women and children... Maybe? I mean, he didn't say specifically that he wouldn't kill a woman. He just said he'd beat him up. Right. Yeah. I think he'd beat him up. I don't think he'd hurt kids, though. I don't think he was
one like
of those.
That, I feel like, oddly enough, like that was his line.
Right.
For someone like that to have a line
I
is
think that was his bottom
beyond
line.
Me.
But
I think it was he would hurt anyone. And then if he had to hurt a woman or a child, even though, like, you know, we watched that movie. Like, I think he would have if it was a very bottom line.
Right.
I still don't know about a child, though. Like, I just...
The
only thing that hasn't come up in this whole entire situation is after watching, like, the actual, like, Hollywood movie of it, is his kids getting targeted.
No, that guy threatened. We did talk about
right,
that.
Right, they threatened, but in the movie, they are like...
Because no one's ever going to... Someone like that, you're not gonna fuck with that.
Well,
family.
In the movie, they come to his house and they kind of I don't know. They make it different for Hollywood because they have to make it more entertaining rather than they like I said, they crammed about four or five stories together to.
You might as I feel like though, like in real life, to fuck with his family, like to fuck with his kids.
Yeah,
you might as well just go ahead and sign your death certificate.
Hey. Like, I want to eat cereal out of a skull bowl. He'd be like, we're best friends.
Yeah, y'all would have been friends.
And then he'd kill him later on.
What was the... Yeah, he would kill you later.
It would be a dull battle.
Anyway, my original point was you got to be careful what documentaries you watch because that one was completely skewed to make him look like something he wasn't.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, it depends on who it is.
It's all perspective.
When they go to make that documentary, it's either they are with that person or not with that person.
Well,
there's not very many that are neutral. Yeah.
And these two HBO documentaries that I watched, they were good, but they didn't lay anything out in order. Like all these clips I've tried to put in the best order that I can because they were all over the place because they're not focusing on what, like the timeline.
The HBO ones are very clinical.
Yeah.
They're meant to look into his head.
Yeah.
And
if you go with this guy,
it's delightful.
See, I would
like if you go
like,
with
like,
this guy, then you're probably going to be pegged as a psychopath, which I'm already there, so who cares?
Yeah, we know.
But, You know, like if you go, well, I don't think that he did it, or, oh, I think what he did was in cause, then it's like, yeah.
See, you're fucked. You can't do that with this guy because he straight up tells you everything he did. You know, he's not
he is stone. Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's
literally
passed. Don't hit the button.
Motherfucker.
He sure is. He sure is.
Give him two beers.
Give him a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, Richard 316.
But I mean, he is. He is. The ultimate, like, you know, he was brought into this world to not give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. It's past textbook. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, he...
But you have to listen to him tell it.
But
really do.
That's why I played so many
clips.
He's calm.
Because
I feel
collected.
Like
he does not give a fuck.
Now,
here's my only
problem. He's like, I killed, I don't know, 100 people? 200? I don't know. He's not real sure. And I'm sure he probably killed that many. I'm not saying,
but
he wasn't keeping
a targeting mark on it though. Like he wasn't.
Yeah,
like,
no,
yeah,
that's what I was about to say. He's
here's
not...
an X for this guy, or here's an X for this guy. Like he didn't. He was.
Yeah,
just...
he wasn't keeping track. But I wonder how many of these stories he maybe spiced up since he was caught and.
He kind of planted.
Yeah,
himself.
Well, he just maybe. Exaggerated.
He's like, fuck it, I'm caught.
If
so
he
let's
did,
just go ahead and do
right.
Because we're already saying. He's a little off.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about him. What's to say that he's not bullshitting some of these stories?
I don't think he would, because he would then become the very thing he hated the most.
Which was his dad.
Was a loudmouth bullshitter.
Well, I say that...
Which he talks about his dad a lot, but he doesn't really talk about his mom.
No, he did.
Not very much. Not as much as he said there and pretty much says he hates his fucking father.
We didn't play very many clips of him talking about his mom, but if you get a chance, watch the segment with the psychiatrist. Because there's a psychiatrist that interviews him on this HBO special.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to that because the HBO special is like I said, it's three parts. It's about 3 hours long total.
It's a lot. I only took clips from two of them.
Right. The bit with the psychiatrist is fascinating. You need to watch it.
Yeah, because something like that, I mean, you're dealing with someone that knows the questions to ask to kind of
dig
and pull.
At one point, the psychiatrist challenges him on something.
Oh, yeah, he gets pissed.
And you can tell.
It's not like a piss, like he's huffing and puffing, like you can just kind of see him twitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's staying completely still.
Gets back in that mode of where...
And you can tell,
his
voice...
I'm not going to be a killer because it's been taken
more,
away
gritty,
from
like,
you.
Grasp, like,
it drops a little and he gets a little serious and the psychiatrist is like, did I make you mad? And he's like, yeah, a little bit.
He goes, I'm kind of annoyed with you right now.
Which is kind of funny because you have to think about it. His brother is in the same cell block as him.
Yeah.
Still.
And he even sit there and
Well, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know if his brother's alive still. He's dead. Richard said.
Even then, they cross each other at all points and times. And he's like, yeah, you know what? I can't remember that he even said anything back to me. Which he's killed people on less than that. So it's really crazy that he hasn't that he didn't set up his brother or kill his brother or anything, or lashed out against his brother because he didn't just fucking say, hey, back.
Well, maybe what he said was true, where he's been out of the game so long he has no urge to kill anymore.
Yeah, he says
but
he
then
doesn't
that chiropractor
care for violence
fucking,
anymore.
Or chiropractor.
Psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist fucking immediately fucking...
Fixes back.
Kicks his...
Realigns his spine.
Mm-hmm.
Works out all the kinks. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'd jump in.
You want me to?
No, I love you. I'm sorry.
Deep tissue massage.
I need to go to a chiropractor, though. Off topic.
The psychologist fucking hits a nerve with him.
And that's what I said.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, given
like
the opportunity,
his own brother didn't
I
hit
just...
A nerve with him?
Well, his brother didn't challenge him. His brother's just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, but he was challenging him by being like...
No, because Richard didn't care.
So I guess I wasn't paying attention and I didn't watch this stuff. What did his brother do to be put in prison?
Killed a girl, raped a girl, then threw her and her dog off of a roof.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I missed that part.
There is also a part where
he was just as bad. The only thing is he didn't get caught.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a really interesting part in the psychiatrist part of the documentary where they're sitting there talking about these stories and they're laughing. and they're just it's like they're old friends just talking about, oh, you remember that time,
right?
And there's the psychiatrist is laughing too, and Richard just stops and goes, we're having way too much fun talking about this. Mm-hmm. Richard's the one that sees mm-hmm. the light and is like, we're having too much fun talking about this.
So he's yeah. really fucking smart.
But so you most psychiatrists, doing. I feel like, aren't quite right in the head.
Well, I really think this psychiatrist was doing the smart thing by trying to get buddy-buddy with him, so he did open up more.
Right.
And I think that's when Richard's so smart that he was like, we're having too much fun. Mm-hmm. I see what you're doing. I think that's him calling him out on it.
Yeah, a little right. bit. Yeah.
So
nice try, buddy.
It's so weird to me. This is my final thoughts on this. It's so weird to me that there's someone like this existed in the real world.
He's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a cartoon. Literally, when people say you're dead to the world, he literally is dead to the world. Like,
I have no idea what you said.
I said it's like when people say that you're dead to the world. Like, he literally is dead to the world. Like, I mean, he has
no feelings.
Yeah, no. It seems like something out of a movie, out of a mm-hmm. comic book, some hitman, the Punisher, almost. Mm-hmm. Like.
But this guy's real though.
And real evil, not mm-hmm. doing like not killing bad people because right. he's a good guy. Yeah, right. I don't know. It's just weird that when you watch John Wick, you think, okay, these people don't exist. But then you hear a story like this, and you're like,
they
maybe.
Do.
maybe they're not as badass as John Wick, and they're not having the gunfights like John Wick, mm-hmm. but they do exist, sort mm-hmm. of.
Right.
I don't
know. Well, I mean,
it's scary.
Well, and not that I'm. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call myself small-minded, but I'm, you know, I'm from a small town. I've lived in Texas my whole life. I'm a country person. Like, but, like, to think, like, just for, like, New Jersey, like mobs, like, I've never been there. Like, to think that that's, like, something, like, real and, like, plausible and that shit kind of, like, happens, even to me, like, it's just kind of, like, so this is just that much more out there.
Or
the
like,
only difference
or like,
is that we're cowboy and Indians.
Or like the Gemini Lounge that they talked about, or that they meant. They do talk about it in the documentaries, but essentially it was a place where they would lure their victims into and kill them and then chop them up in whatever.
Mm-hmm. See, yeah, you're out there dancing and having a blast, and one pin poke later, it's like,
and you're just done. Like,
well, the Gemini Lounge was where all these assassins mm-hmm. or killers hung out. And
yeah.
that's what
wonder,
they would do for fun. Is they'd kill,
like,
random people. Because
there's something like that in John Wick.
Yeah.
I'm sure that
it's the hotel. Like, everyone mm-hmm. goes to hang out, and that's like, you, no business is conducted there.
Well, these guys specifically did killings in this lounge.
Oh, okay.
They speculate that maybe over 100 people in the lounge alone.
See, that's
were
insane.
Killed at the time.
But it's like, you know that things like this happen in the real world. Like,
right.
there are people like this that exist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
with no remorse.
So, exactly. And it's so hard fathom. Like that you can cross paths with someone that could literally slit your throat and walk away.
And then go get a burger
and
be
not
fine.
Blink an eye.
Yeah.
Like, it just, it blows my mind. Like,
yeah.
I just.
And that's what this guy was.
And as far as the animals, like little kittens.
Right. It's so difficult mm-hmm. to grasp.
Not all of
like,
them start that way, but I mean, he was.
The majority
he was just
of them,
like,
I feel like, do
you know,
that.
Animals.
But he was, and here's another thing just to add, you can't classify him as a serial killer. I can't remember what the report said.
He was a hitman.
He wasn't like.
But at the same time.
A serial
he
killer.
He did hitman
has,
jobs for himself, so you can't
a,
really, you can't not say that he's
there was something weird. I wish
well,
I had the article
well,
pulled
he,
up.
Well, he was.
Because it explained it perfectly, and I was
a
like,
a hitman,
that makes
somebody
sense.
Who's hired, you can't, when he, you go and bash somebody's brains in. Because they fuck with your shit or anything like that, like, that's not a hitman.
I feel
like
a serial killer generally has, like, a set motive, like a set, there's
But
a...
he did have a set motive. He killed people randomly just to see
how
what the
die.
Effects were.
But it'd usually be someone that pissed him off. Like, there, I think there
right.
was a little bit of motive
right.
for each killing.
His anger was just way out
but
there.
But then, you know, he wanted to test the crossbow just because the guy looked at him.
Yeah.
He didn't piss him off. He was just like, oh, I want to test this thing out real quick.
You see how he reacts.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
just
really,
see what happens to it.
It's really scary
He's
to think.
He's almost like a scientist serial killer.
Essentially.
It's really scary to think of, like, this could be anyone.
Mm-hmm.
This could be my neighbor. This could be your neighbor. This could be anyone. And it's that easy.
Sorry. Siri was talking to me.
Yeah.
Siri needs to back the fuck off.
Well, I was trying to pull up the difference between the serial killer and this dude.
I think we're fine. Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, I'm good.
I wasn't doing it for y'all. I was doing it for myself.
Hey, guys. What are y'all doing? Are y'all podcasting?
No.
Jeez, what are you doing this
whole time?
I just came in. I was running some errands.
It's a different Sunday. Or it's a different Saturday, dude. This is an off Saturday.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Groceries and shit.
We're just hanging out.
Yeah, we're just chilling.
What's with all the microphones and the headphones?
Hey, do you know a guy named... They're just here. Just how we talk to each other. Do you know a guy named Richard Kuklinski?
Oh, yeah, good guy.
You have a soul?
I'm not at liberty to discuss.
Stubby,
it's kind of like a doctor's thing.
You have
the devil has a HIPAA rule.
Yeah.
Devil has HIPAA.
Yeah. So were y'all about to say bye to someone or what were you?
No, we were just chilling.
About
man.
To say bye to you, bitch.
We're about to bye to each other.
Okay, well I'm gonna go put up my groceries.
Okay.
And then right. I'll
put
hang
up your
out with you guys.
Okay,
yeah,
sounds
bitch
great.
Milk.
All right, let's get out of here before he comes
God.
Back.
All right, thank
Hurry
God.
Up, man.
Hurry.
All right, goodbye, everyone.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We appreciate it. If you would, please go give us a review on iTunes and make sure you are subscribed. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Secret Transpod. We have a Facebook, so look up Secret Transmission Podcast. We also have a group. It's Secret Transmissions Secret Group. And you can join and chit-chat with us and other listeners. If you'd like to donate to the show, we do have a Patreon page, and we've just posted our first extra-sode. They're going to be a little bit different, but we're also going to do... we're going to have some just pre-shows, after-shows, just extra things that we try to record here and there. The first one, we put out a survey a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to go over the results. So to become a Patreon member, go to patreon.com/secrettransmission. And you can donate just as little as a dollar, and you get all the extra free content. There's some other tiers that you can look into. Please support the show if you'd like. You can also support us by going to tpublic.com/secrettransmission and buying some of our t-shirts. And if you're not done supporting us, make sure you go to cryptidcrate.com and use our promo code SECRETPOD for 20% off your first purchase. And that's, you know, a box of cryptozoology goodies. You may get Bigfoot, you may get Mothman, you may get the Loch Ness Monster. Every single month it'll be delivered to your door, and in fact, I have one that's sitting on my counter right now that I need to do an unboxing video for. So check out our YouTube channel for those unboxing videos, so you can see what's in them. We'd like to thank the Dark Myths. Go to darkmyths.org to check out all the other wonderful shows a part of the collective, or you can follow them on Instagram and Twitter at Dark Myths Pods. They recently started a YouTube channel, so go search Dark Myths and subscribe to their YouTube channel. But that's all for this week. Next week, we're going to be airing a special game show that Rudy put together for us to celebrate our month-long Monster Madness tournament. But then after that, we're back to normal episodes with the DB Cooper and a bunch of other cool stuff coming up. So we hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I hate you. I really do.
You're my favorite.
I want you to die.
I have so much respect for you right
now. I'm so glad that you held out all that time for that, for someone to say Stone Cold.
So if I never would have said that,
well, okay.
I'd been pissed,
aren't you? No. So, hold on. Earlier, I was going to play it, and I had my finger on the trigger, and I was like, I'm gonna play it.
He was like, nah.
And then
I'm not complaining about it.
I'm
tired.
So I have two things to tell y'all.
Yeah.
You can only tell us one.
No.
Fuck you.
No. Okay, well, then I'll choose my one thing.
No one said it.
I'll say it during this. The devil has a HIPAA.
That was clever. I couldn't remember what it was called. Fucking HIPAA.
I was like, the doctor.
Who's got HIPAA?
Ready to say goodbye, Roger. Thank you.